Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done,
I'm your host, Ken Burrow. So glad you decided to join us this morning. And I am thankful this morning for our guest, Bishop August Francis is our guest today. Bishop Francis and I, we both belong to lips aren't working this morning. Got him from Baytown Lift Rancho. We'll have to take him back. They're not working right. As I was saying, both Bishop Francis and myself are the College of Bishops for Job's Place International. And he has some things coming up next month And I want him to talk about that. It's called The Return of the Lord, Return to the Lord, rather. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Good morning. And let me say before I get started with too much that I want to apologize to our listeners that you may find that we are, you'll hear some background noise and things of that nature. And the reason for that is because we're in Beaumont, Texas. And Beaumont, Texas is in the line of concern about this potentially Category 4 hurricane called Laura. And so I am in the process of moving some things around. And I've got family members and everything buzzing around me as we do this program. So if you can bear with us today, we'd really appreciate that.
Well, you're automatically forgiven.
Appreciate that.
I used to live there. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're familiar with the stuff that goes on here sometimes.
Yes,
you mentioned what's going on next month, and we believe that, and some folks get a little unnerved when you start talking about stuff like this, but we believe that this is an attack of the enemy, this storm. Not all storms originate from the Lord, folks. The Lord doesn't send storms, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we are believing God.
I've already said the same.
We're believing God that that nothing will actually take place, but we are preparing for the Lord to ride us through. Because next month is scheduled Southeast Texas Return to the Lord. And what that is all about, we are partnering with a national and international day of prayer that the main event will take place in Washington, D.C., on the Washington Mall. People coming together to pray, to seek the face of God, and believe for a move of God that will not stop, but give us space for revival, for real spirit-led revival, for God to move in our land. Based on 2 Chronicles 7:14, actually 13 and 14, because 2 Chronicles 7:13 talks about the pestilence, the famine, lack of rain, all the stuff that we're experiencing in 2020. And then in verse 14 it says, if we, God's people, will call on him, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. We need to shed some stuff. God's people. Then he'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins and he'll heal our land. That's what the word says. And that's what we are standing on. And this will take place on September 25th and 26th. So, now, I've gone through all of that. Now, talk to me, Brother Ken.
Well, what are your expectations for this? What do you believe you're going to see?
Expectation? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just tell me what you believe you're going to see.
I am believing for an unprecedented open door. I heard one evangelist mention the other night that everybody talks about an end time revival. And unfortunately, we have viewed revival in a weird sense for the past 30 years or so. We've viewed revival as a time for shouting and playing and dancing in the aisles and things of that nature, and people coming to Jesus in a way that shows the love and mercy of God. And certainly, anytime you have a salvation, you're showing the love and mercy of God. But what he said, which really set in my spirit, and I had been saying it for a number of weeks before I heard it, and that is, this revival is about war. It is about the saints of God getting serious about the things of God to come against the onslaught of the enemy. We are seeing far too many people who are Christians that have compromised so much, that have laid aside their what is spirit and substituted it for the emotions of the flesh. And I'm believing for the church to have a massive wake-up call, a massive wake-up call that says, wait a minute, Jesus is coming, and I do not want to be one of the five foolish virgins. I don't want to be in that number. I want to wake up, get up, and prepare myself, my family, and my neighborhood, my city, for the coming of the Lord, and gather as many people into the kingdom. What I am believing for is that we stop having church, and that we will be the church.
Come on.
You know, we have a lot of things that are in the Word of God that we have turned into cliches. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I've heard people say, you know, that means that hell can't attack us. That's not what that means. Gates do not attack people. I grew up in a house with a gate in front of it, a fence and a gate. And not one time did that gate ever jump off there and attack me. What the gate was supposed to do is keep people out. And when we say the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, I'm reminded of the late Reinhard Bonnke, who used the expression plundering hell to populate heaven. We're supposed to go into the devil's territory and take the people that he has claimed for himself. We're supposed to move. We're supposed to be the aggressors. We keep looking at the devil as the aggressor. But remember what Jesus said? The kingdom suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. We have yet to see a violent church. We have yet to see a church, and I'm by church I mean the called out one, not the building, the people. We have yet to see us stand against the enemy. We always make an excuse as to why we need to side with the enemy. Right now, things are going on that are totally contrary to the Word of God. The riots, the looting, the murders that are going on. And what are our churches saying? What are our people saying? Well, you know, you've got to obey the law of the land. Look, folks, the law of the land in many cities is saying, go ahead and loot, go ahead and burn, go ahead and kill babies, go ahead and all of these things are the law of the land. But the Bible speak specifically against these things. And we have church folks that are leaning to their own understanding. We've got to show compassion. I can show compassion without compromise. And that's what he wants us to do. Show compassion. I care about whether or not the homosexual finds Jesus. I care about the mother who has aborted a child, that she be healed and that thing no longer takes place in her life. I care about black-on-black crime. My goodness, I am black. I care about racism. I care about all those things. But still, the Word of God has a standard. And the Bible says, again, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. We're supposed to be holding up, as we used to say years ago, the blood-stained banner. We're the ones who are supposed to be standing and saying, thus saith the Lord. We're the ones who are supposed to be setting the pace and the concern about how things are supposed to go. The word Jesus used for church, ecclesia, was a governing body of people that were not part of the system, so to speak, but they had the authority to raise up rulers and to put down rulers. We as the church have found ourselves a way to hide behind the walls and hope nobody bothers us. We have done absolutely contrary to the Word of God's description of his church. Okay, I'll stop.
Hey, you're doing great.
We've got to come to a place where we are going to believe God, going to believe God for what he has said and do what he has said, or decide that we're not. Rick Talent, Bishop Talent, will remember this because he's quoted it many times. There was a church service in Louisville, Kentucky, and the speaker was Jerry B. Walker. And when they introduced him to preach, he simply got up and said a few words. He said, there is a dividing line between those who will serve the Lord and those who will not. And then he sat down. That was it. That was his whole message. And the altars flooded with people to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Why is that? Because we have come to a place where there must be a dividing line. There must be a place where a decision is made by the people of God that we're going to do this thing the Lord's way, or we're going to side with the world. And I believe that we are at the end of the last day. The last day started when Jesus ascended into heaven. That's when the last day started. And it's been almost 2,000 years by our calendar since he left. If we use our calendar, basically he left in 33 AD,
uh-huh,
and we are at 2020. So if we and I'm not claiming any dates, folks. Don't get excited. I'm not claiming any dates. But what I'm saying is that if we went by our calendar, we got about 13 years left. So we need to get on the ball. You know, and we need to make up our minds that this is what we're going to do. And if we don't,
go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I said if we don't, we'll be left behind.
Last thing I want, my prayer is that I get to see Jesus.
That's right.
13 years for me would make me a pretty old man.
You and me both, bro.
But I have known all my life, Bishop, that I was going to be alive in the days that Jesus returns, or close to it.
Yes.
I got saved at 12, and the very first thing that I started learning was the book of Revelation. And at that time, I was a Baptist, and Dr. Billy Mann was my preacher at the time, and he did an excellent job of teaching me about the book of Revelation and what it means and how to understand it. And I have watched through my lifetime, I have watched the prophetic come true. The things we are seeing today is exactly as Paul told Timothy, that in the last days, people will be, you know, boastful, self, you know, all that. And I believe in my heart, for one thing, I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me this back in February of 2019, that there is coming a faceless, nameless revival that's going to burn across not only America, but the world. I believe it's going to start here. But what it's about is a Jesus. The time of these, you know, super evangelists and TV evangelists, these big names, they're falling to the wayside pretty quick. In fact, it's happening every day. And what I've seen is that God is empowering the believers. I see more and more every day. I'm fortunate that God is put me in a healing ministry. I've seen many, 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 many miracles. But I'm seeing people who have just come to the realization of what their authority is in Christ Jesus. And these people are stepping out, stepping into that authority, and they're getting amazing results. It is an amazing thing for me to watch. And I'm watching it across the board. I mean, I have a social media presence besides Blog Talk Radio, and I keep seeing people coming out of nowhere, boom, talking about the miracles that God is doing. And what I think is coming is a revival that's going to make Azusa Street look like Sesame Street. It is going to be so amazing because it will be the body of Christ doing what we were supposed to be doing in the first place. See, I think church has taught us religion instead of relationship. I've been in a lot of churches that I walk in and I went, whoa, where's the Lord? I don't sense his presence. I've been in big churches with no presence of God in it. I've been in tiny churches that the presence of God was so thick it almost knocked me over as I walked through the door. And I believe people are getting to the point where they want to be in the presence of God. They want to do the things that God is telling them to do. And because of that, you know, I've always said 1,000 little things makes a major impact. So when you've got thousands of people walking in the authority of God, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord, and performing supernatural signs, miracles, and wonders because they know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Am I making any sense here? Well, I'll wait while he answers my question.
Well, I'm sorry, you got cut off.
Oh, okay.
I need to hear the question.
Am I making any sense?
Yeah, of course you're making sense. Because, I mean, it's got to happen that the Lord show himself mighty. See, I've always believed, and this is personal thought, but there's going to be two sets of emotions. The Bible says that the man of sin can't be revealed until he who lets be taken out of the way. And that word let doesn't mean allow. It means the ones that are preventing him, the man of sin, from showing himself fully, has to be taken out of the way first. And that points to the body of Christ. Now, once the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up, then that's going to trigger the start. And this is, I'm not, please I don't want to make you think this is, you won't go to heaven if you don't believe this. But I believe that's what starts the attitude that makes the world begin to look for one person who can answer all of their questions. And there'll be two sets of emotions. There'll be the emotion of I wish that Christians were still here, because I don't know what happened to our to the peace and everything that we felt. And then there'll be the other set of emotions that says, boy, I'm glad they're gone. And so we have to be making some kind of an effect for people to feel like, hey, where'd the Christians go? There's got to be an upheaval. So we will have to make an impact. We can't leave quietly. There's got to be something that says to the world, whoa. Yeah, my wife just said, she said, our peace is gone. The people who we ran to pray for us are gone. The folks who I could count on, even though I didn't want to live the kind of life they were living, I didn't want to serve the God they were serving, those people are gone. And it's going to cause an upheaval. So, yes, we have to, there has to be this dramatic show of the power of God through his body, his church, that makes folks say, wait a minute, maybe they were right. Maybe they were on the ball with what they were saying. And I think that's where we are now. The church is going to have to
then hide the talents in a napkin and bury it, like we have done for unfortunately so long. We're at that point where the church has put stuff away in such a fashion that now folks can't tell who's the church and who's not. And the Lord has to make it known.
Amen. You know, I think without a doubt in my mind that this, I want to say next move of God, but it's not really the next move. It's already beginning. I'm seeing it more and more and more and more and more. But there is going to be such massive demonstrations of the power of God, it's going to be hard for anybody to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's going to be very difficult because of the miracles that he's doing. I mean, I got blessed last year. I went to the North Georgia Revival in Dawsonville, Georgia, and I came home with a new gift. And God has kept me very busy with that new gift. And that is, I can actually feel people's pain. But the point of the matter is, I am seeing God heal people before we even pray. That one started, when that first started, that amazed me, August, you know, because I'm kind of old school. I thought that, you know, we had to, you know, call the elders together, put oil on people, lay hands on them, they'd be healed. That's not the way it's going these days. Excuse me. I am seeing and it happens a lot. I can call somebody on the telephone, or I can call them on Messenger. I can call them, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, when the phone rang, the anointing fell into the room, and I was healed before I picked up the phone. I mean, that amazes me, you know, and I've seen it in person, too. There, we were up in our revival in the projects of Huntsville, Alabama, and this boy come by, you know, what a boy, he was an older man. He came by, he had one leg shorter than the other, but not by a half an inch or an inch, but by 6-7 inches. It was a major, major difference. And all I did was put a drop of anointing oil on his forehead. And evangelist Eugene Brown and I looked down, and that boy's legs were absolutely straight and even. And we never prayed for him once. Just put a dot of oil on his head, and instantly he was healed. Without a prayer said. That blew me away. This still blows me away. In fact, Eugene Brown and I was talking about it a couple of days back. We were talking. It had such an impact on him and I that he was one of them. But God will answer our prayers before we ask. I've seen that. Hey, listen, we do have one phone call, and I want to give this person an opportunity to speak. Now, here's how this works. I'm going to give you the last four digits of your phone number. If you want to talk, say hello, talk away. If you don't want to talk, you don't have to, but don't hang up. Hang in there with us. Okay, so the last four digits of your phone number is 8017. And I want to say good morning to you. Thank you for listening to the Healing Light Show. How are you today? 8017. Okay. Like I said, you don't have to talk. We appreciate you listening, that's for sure. Now, there is one other thing that I always do, Bishop August, and that is in every program, I love to give an invitation to come to know Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So if you're listening today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. All you have to do is ask him to come into your heart. I'll always remember the day that I asked Jesus into my heart. And he came in. And he changed me. I'll never, ever forget that. Some people say to me, well, you know, Jesus is going to have to prove that he's real. Well, he will. All you have to do is know this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again. And today, he sits at the right hand of Father God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. So if you confess that you're a sinner, you believe that he died and rose again, all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. I surrender to you. And he will come into your heart. And I promise you this. If you say that little prayer, you will know without a doubt that he is real. Because once he comes into your heart, that's all the evidence you will ever, ever need to know that he is the living Son of God. So the invitation is out there for you today. Just ask God to come into your heart. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to have no super religious, you know, ceremony to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. You can ask him right where you're at. You can ask him. He will come into your heart. So say that prayer today, because let me share one more thing. We'll get back to Bishop August. Heaven is real, and so is hell. And the choice is up to you. You can spend eternity with Jesus, or you can spend eternity in torment. It's all up to you. He doesn't force it on us, but the invitation is there, and all you have to do is ask him in. Now, as you were saying,
you know, you mentioned not forgetting the day. On Sunday, I will celebrate On Sunday, I'll celebrate one birthday, and on Monday, I'll celebrate another. On Monday is my natural birthday.
Happy birthday.
Sunday was the day that I met Jesus, that he made himself known in my life. And so you mentioned that, and I have to give glory to him, because I was not looking to be anything except religious. I was an extremely religious person. So all of you who said, well, I've never done anything wrong. Well, I didn't. I was, as far as I was concerned, I never did anything wrong. I spent most of my young life in church. They didn't preach Jesus. It was a church that said they preached Jesus, but they spent most of the time telling me about Jesus' mother and his disciples and all of that. As soon as you started talking about not forgetting the day, I remember that old song, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my heart, they rolled away. Down on my knees in agony. But I sing and shout, because he's everything to me. And that's what this time in history is all about. There's a cry of the Lord in mercy. Come and receive me. Come and be part of the family. Come and receive the mercy and grace that I have for you. Come and receive now. And we can talk about storms. We can talk about the prayer event on the 25th and 26th of September. We can talk about all those things. But if you're outside of the area where the storm is supposed to hit, if you are away from, can't get to Beaumont or to Washington, D.C. or wherever for the prayer event, it doesn't matter, because he is everywhere, and he is willing to meet you where you are. He met me where I was. People say, I found the Lord. The Lord wasn't lost.
Come on.
And he's waiting. The Savior is waiting.
The Lord found me.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You,
the Lord wants to find everybody. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell.
That's right. That's right.
But it's up to us as individuals. It really is. Excuse me. For some reason, I have a frog in my throat this morning. And I don't believe it's...
I'm from Louisiana, so I would say cut the legs off and fry them.
Yes, sir. Those are good. I like to think I'm weird because I like broad legs. But I lived in Texas long enough that, you kind of acquire a taste for some other kinds of food down there. I still love a good shrimp boil.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate you having me on today. I know we really, this is a real push for the prayer event, and we would like you to make it if you're in driving distance for the 25th and 26th of September. That's a Friday night. We'll start at about 5:00 in the evening, and then Saturday, starting up at about 10:00 in the morning or before, will be an intense day of prayer. We'll probably finish up somewhere around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, because the bishops are supposed to have a meeting that afternoon. But it's going to be a time of prayer for our nation, prayer for our world, prayer for the regions that we're from. So don't think this is just about Southeast Texas. If you come from another area, you will, I can tell you, you'll be invited to come and and have us all in unison pray for the area that you are from, because we want God to move. We want the Lord to move upon the hearts and lives of people. And if you don't mind, Bishop Ken, I'm going to give my phone number in case folks want to know more about it. The ministry phone number is 409-291-8497. I wish Jeremiah was with me right now. He could give that number really good. He's really good at giving out the phone number. If you wonder who Jeremiah is, that's my 3-year-old grandson. And but the number is 409-291-8497. And if you come to Beaumont, you'll get to meet Jeremiah and probably his lobster, too. Brother Ken knows about the lobster.
So cute. We have a weekly prayer meeting that the bishops do at Jones Place Ministry every week. And Jeremiah has been front and center many, many times during those prayer meetings. And he's just as cute can be. He always makes me smile. I love watching him.
The thing is to watch as he participates. I mean, he knows what's going on. And let me tell you something. If you make the mistake of saying in Jesus' name, he's going to say amen. And say, well, that's a kid. Yeah, but the thing is, that kid has not been taught to do those things except by his own desire. And say, well, why is this important for you to mention now? But, folks, children know how to do a lot of stuff. They really do. They're learning how to dance, how to dress seductively, how to, my goodness, I've heard them curse like sailors. But your child, your grandchild, can learn to receive Jesus at an early age. They can start to walk with the Lord at an early age. You can dedicate them to the Lord now. You do not have to put this off and say, oh, when they get older. Folks, you don't know how much older they're going to be able to get with the things that are going on in the world now. Introduce them to Jesus today.
Amen.
It is important.
Yep. It really is. One of the things I've noticed the last couple of years is that God is using little children. Out of the mouths of babes comes a lot of wisdom, because they only know what God is showing them. And he's also using old folks. That's what I'm seeing, children and old folks. The children, because they're innocent and they don't know any better, and the old folks is because they know better and they're not as innocent as they should be, but they still know that time is getting short and Jesus is coming back. Welcome back, caller. We lost a caller for a second, but he came back. Thank you for coming back. Well, I know you got a lot to do today. My prayers are with you and your family. I told Bishop August offline in our prayer meeting last night, too. Years and years and years ago, the very first hurricane I ever experienced, I watched a young girl pull the Holy Spirit, sat down and pray, told me what she was praying. And she had prayed that hurricane would stop in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico and turn southwest and hit a pretty much uninhabited area of Mexico. And within 15 minutes of her praying that, it happened, just as she said it was going to happen. Now, I wasn't a strong believer of Jesus back in those days. I was kind of a wild and woolly boy. But that has always stuck with me, that one person sat down and prayed told a hurricane to stop and change direction, and it did. And she did it because I was afraid. Man, that just still to this day, I mean, that was 40 years ago, but still to this day, that just blows me away. So I'm going to meet in agreement with my listeners this morning and with you, Bishop, and we're going to pray that hurricane stops and changes direction and gets off of the Beaumont area, because you have some things coming up that are important to the body of God, the body of Christ, and we want to see that happen without any hindrances. Amen. Are you still with me? Bishop? Well, unfortunately, it looks like we lost our bishop. But I want to thank Bishop August for joining us today. Looking forward to the Return to the Lord event that's happening in September in Beaumont, Texas. If you have any more questions about it, feel free to contact me or contact Bishop August. He did put his phone number in here. But here's what we're going to do. Since I've lost him, we're just going to end the program a little earlier today. Be blessed and be a blessing. I'm Ken Burrow. This has been the Healing Light Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for joining us. We really do appreciate you. Do, 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 do. You ever have one of them mornings? Bye-bye. God bless.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.